So you know I'm obsessed with candles, right? Have you ever heard of massage oil candles? Okay, so get this. I always light candles when I'm enjoying a glass of wine with friends, and recently they were over and I lit 3 candles for my new line called Emily and Tony. My skin felt really dry, so I went ahead and poured some of it on my hands and I gave myself a quick massage. My friends were stunned that I did this and immediately were obsessed. And here's why. See, these candles are really aromatherapy massage oils that when warmed like a candle, they melt into the most luxurious body oil that is super hydrating, leaves your skin feeling and smelling amazing, and it's perfect for massaging your partner or yourself. You can use it during foreplay, and you know me, I'm a firm believer in foreplay. They come in delicious flavors like creme de vanilla, cocoa, and fougere. Not just that, they look great in your home. So help us keep this podcast free. Check them out today at emilyandtony.com, and you're welcome.
Into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's got to have her standards. Oh, my.
The women know about shrinkage.
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, it feels so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com, where you can listen to all of our podcasts. Sign up for our mailing list, which you really want to do, because I send you really fun emails. Not like spammy weird ones, but they're actually good emails where you'll learn something new about sex. And I might give you some discounts and some fun things you'd like. And you also get the report, the 5 biggest mistakes men are making in bed and the 5 biggest mistakes women are making in bed. Also, follow me on Facebook and Twitter, Instagram. And as always, you can email me at feedback@sexwithemily.com and I will answer your email questions on the air. And I love hearing from everyone. And hi, Anderson. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, Sex. How are you?
I'm good. It's great to see you.
Hey, who's this sexy dude sitting next to you?
How hot is Connor Habib?
We just had a calf off. I thought I had the biggest calves in the world. Turns
no,
out I don't.
No, he's so hot. You know what I love? Okay, so Connor Habib is my guest.
Hello.
Hi, Connor. You might recognize him. He was on a show about a year ago, I realized.
Oh, thank you.
And he's a writer, lecturer, and adult film star. And so he was on my show before you moved to L.A., and you came in, and we had it in my apartment then, because I wasn't really like, I didn't get set up in a studio yet from my San Francisco transition. And you're just so hot and cool, and I loved our interview.
Aww.
And now you moved here. I'm so excited.
We both moved from San Francisco.
I know, and we need to talk about
that.
We
will.
Because I think it's a good thing for our lives. What we do, you write, you lecture, adult film.
I agree.
All that stuff, right? It's entertainment. And people have been saying for years, you got to move. I'm like, no, I can do it all in San Francisco. But like things just...
No, and I think Los Angeles needs people who are talking about sex more than San Francisco does. San Francisco's kind of all set with its legs
they're
up
like
and
good.
Ready to
like,
go.
We got to get to go. We're
exactly.
Like, we're like swinging, having sex parties like at lunch, at our lunch
right.
breaks. Like, we're fine. But here it really works. So I like that. I also want to say that, okay, you're an adult film star. You're gay.
Correct. Well,
Are bisexual?
No.
Are you bisexual? Because then we can have sex.
Yeah. Well, it's possible after the show we can talk about it. I say I'm attracted to men because, yeah, gay feels sort of like weirdly uncomfortable for me.
Okay,
it's not a bad word at all. No, I used to say I was gay, but like as I get older, I'm more into all sorts of things.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like, what does that mean, all sorts of things?
Well, basically, when I say that, it means that I am attracted to women. I've never acted on it.
You've never had sex with a woman?
I'm a virgin if in one way,
like right.
possibly only one way, which is the regular
okay.
way.
Well, yeah, we can
yeah.
talk after the show.
All right, right
I'm
on.
Not a virgin. So we can talk, but that's cool. But I think you're just awesome and we've been trying to get together. But we did have a calf off, which is so funny is because so we go to the same gym, which I haven't actually been to in months in L.A. And so my trainer there that I saw was like, do you know Connor Habib? And because he had done some
He knows
scenes
me.
With
yeah,
you
yeah.
or something. And I was like, yeah, I do. I love him. He's like, he's so hot. I know. And then you moved here. And then apparently you spent a lot of time at gym because you look amazing.
Oh, thank you.
I know.
I
and
feel
I want to
terrible.
Meet you there. But
yeah.
what time do you go again?
I go early. Yeah, I wake up early and I go.
That's on my list of things to do this year. Wake up early.
Wake up early.
It's so hard for me.
It changes your life. Although I've been waking up early for the past 7 years. So now I'm actually doing the other thing where I'm trying to sort of like stay up late and shake it off and like just get into like more freedom because I was so restricted for so long.
What do you mean restricted?
Well, I was just very disciplined, you know, wake up.
What time do you wake up when you say early?
When I was in San Francisco, early was 5:30, 6 o'clock.
Wow.
Now in L.A., it's not like that anymore. Now in L.A.
Because you're out partying. And
yeah. Well, I don't go out and party exactly, but I do a lot more fun stuff. And then it's like 8 o'clock is now early.
Okay.
It's,
no, that's good. See, right, I could get to the gym by 8:30.
But I got to tell you, you own the city when you wake up at 5:30. I've done it a few times.
Oh, my God. No one knows.
You miss all the traffic. And right. Then you get home before all the traffic. And you're just like, I mean, the problem is you have to go to bed early. And that
right.
sucks.
I know. Yeah. It does suck. I'm like a total night. Because then I do Loveline after this show. Right. And I want to check out. I don't know if everyone knows what Loveline is, but it's also a podcast, but it might be playing in your city. It's a show that's been around for about 30 years with Dr. Drew. And anyway, so I do that. I get home here at midnight, but I'm so energized by doing live radio that I'm like up till 4 in the morning, and then I'm all messed up the next day.
Right.
But I'm going to try to make it to the gym. Mike Catherwood, too, and Dr. Drew are the hosts of it. I love them. Okay,
Awesome.
Connor, so first tell me about... We're going to get into a lot of things today because you're a prolific writer. You're going to start writing some stuff for Sex with Emily. I'm committing you right here on the air.
Right on.
Also writing for Patty Stanger, as I do, on her blog. We're going to start next week. Patty knows.
Correct. My column is called Free Sex with Connor Habib.
I love it.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
And I write one for her, too, that's called, I don't know, Sex. Sex something. But that's really fun. But you're also going to start writing for us, which we're going to talk about. But tell me about how you got started first in the adult industry.
Okay, so I wanted to be in porn since I was about 12 years old, maybe a little earlier than that. I had always wanted to do it, so my whole life. And I just...
why, though?
Why? Well, there are a lot of reasons. I mean, I think when I was that young... I mean, your reasons change as you get older, right? When I was that young, it was like, okay... why wouldn't somebody do this? First of all, it was like, this is the most awesome thing in the world. Why wouldn't it? I had no shame about
sexual?
It.
Were you always like into...
Yes, but I didn't have any outlet. You know what I mean? I grew up in small town Pennsylvania. I had nowhere to put it.
What era did you grow up in?
Outside of Allentown.
No, era.
Oh, like, what era?
A decade.
Oh, the 80s and the 90s, yeah.
All right, so I guess, because I think I'm maybe a little bit older than you, but I barely knew what porn was when I was like 12, 11.
Yeah.
I knew about it too early, for sure. But my question to you is like, how did you even know what porn was at 12, want to do it?
When my parents got divorced, my dad got a cable cheater box. Do you guys remember those?
Yes.
Where it was like, it would...
Spice Channel, right?
Yeah, but we actually had just like a hardcore porn channel. This is actually a great story because it's like the hand of fate directed my life. So my dad had this huge giant screen TV and the cable cheater box, and me and my dad and my stepmom and my sister are all sitting in the room. He's flipping through the channels because when you flip, it's just a blip. You can see literally nothing on the screen. And as he passed channel 27, which was the porn channel, the battery in the remote died. And so I was 7 years old and I saw this giant penis and giant vagina. I had no idea what it was. And my sister covered
the penis
my
or
eyes.
The vagina.
Either of them, really. Right. I mean, that penis certainly did not look like my 7-year-old penis.
Right.
So somebody, my sister covered my eyes and screamed, and my dad had to run up and turn the TV off manually. But I already seen it.
Right.
You know, and I was like, okay, wait, there's something I'm not supposed to see, but apparently I am supposed to see it because it's on TV.
Right.
You know, it's there. So I didn't get it. You know, it was this weird puzzle. So that was the first time I ever saw porn.
And then did you wait for your parents to leave the house and then you turn it on?
I didn't really care about it till I went through puberty.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I might have been a little entranced by it, but I didn't care so much. You know, like I would look at it and be like, what's that? But it didn't really click for me until I went through puberty.
Got
for sure.
it.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I don't remember seeing... No, I do remember seeing that we had HBO and it was the fuzzy, like the Showtime Emmanuel films.
Right.
But you couldn't
the
really
Red Shoe
see
Diaries.
It. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But you couldn't really see it. But I didn't get turned on for like years until I was like 19. Like I didn't have any sexual feelings.
You didn't have any sexual feelings?
Not really. No, I did. I hooked up with guys. I had boyfriends, but I just didn't like masturbate.
But you
or
weren't
anything.
Into it. Yeah.
No. Like I wish I was. I'm so envious of people like you who have these like early... sexual feelings.
Well, what was can you remember the first time you masturbated? Have you talked
like
about
20.
That before?
Oh, totally. I mean, I didn't even, the thing that pisses me off is that it never even occurred to me to masturbate.
Uh-huh.
It didn't even I wasn't for lying back, like, oh, this might feel good. And I don't know why. I mean, I think my childhood growing up was pretty tumultuous. Maybe I was anxious. I mean, I'm always anxious, but I'm a pretty high strung person. But it was, you know, I don't know what it was. But like, how do you not just think like that? It's just weird. Like, and it wasn't like I came from a very liberal home. It wasn't like they were hiding it from me. I wasn't going to Catholic school. I don't know. And then I started having sex, and then my friends started talking about orgasms. I'm like, what the what? Or I don't think I've had one of those. You know, it's like, if you think you haven't, you probably haven't.
Right.
And then my mom was like, you should, you know, masturbate. And she's like, have you ever tried getting stoned? Oh,
I love that your mom.
Oh yeah, my mom's really cool. She gave me this book called, it's called For Yourself by Lonnie Barbuck. It's still a great classic book. Have you ever heard of that
book? For Yourself? Yeah. No.
And she gave it to me. She's like, you should read this. And then all my friends would like be sending me like links on like how to have an orgasm. Like, you know, and it became like a joke with my friends. And then I eventually like got there, but it just, I don't know, I was a late bloomer. So anyway,
that's so cool.
Now look at me. I can't stop blooming. but Connor, so did you, what you attracted to men or women, like when did you feel that?
So the interest in porn came long before I knew I was really attracted to men, right? I didn't really understand any of my attractions. And then, so I felt no shame about the porn. And then suddenly I started having feelings for guys, and then I got really ashamed because of where I grew up.
Right.
So that was weird. I mean, that was a weird thing. And there was no gay porn, of course. So I was only watching straight porn until I was about 19 and someone gave me a gay porn, and then it was
game
like
over. Right.
It was game over. Well, it was also like, wow, like people do this and they enjoy it. They love doing this, and that means there's a whole world of gay men out there doing this. I can't believe this thing I'm ashamed of. So in that sense, I like to say always that like every gay porn is an It Gets Better video.
Right.
So it's like, because gay kids in areas like that everywhere get to see positive depictions
right.
of something that's negative.
Exactly.
You know?
So then when did you have your first like sexual encounter?
I had my first sexual encounter before the first gay porn.
Okay.
The first one was me and my friend had a drawing contest, and whoever drew the most awesome superhero got his dick sucked by the other guy.
Oh.
And I was the better drawer.
Of course, right. So,
yeah,
right,
exactly.
There you go. Good thing. You got those
drawing
skills.
I was a top at like age 11 or whatever. Right. Yeah. And then, but then the first like sort of real one, I had this neighbor boy that I would hook up with a lot. And,
okay. And did anyone know, or was it like a secret?
No. And I was a jerk. I mean, because he was like, I was not a popular kid. I was like a punk rock kid. So I was like just a contentious asshole, you know what I mean? But he was like, he was like a nobody, you know?
Okay.
And so I wasn't nice to him in high school. And then after school every day we would hook up.
Every day. Wow. Now did people know in high school? Like, were they like, oh, like, cause did girls must have, they didn't like,
no, girls
you?
Didn't.
You're
I was
so God. I don't understand.
I was like, I had long hair in the front.
Okay.
I had that like Edward Furlong from Terminator 2 haircut.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know. We all changed. Like, if you looked at my high school photo with the big hair, yeah, it wouldn't have been pretty.
Oh, my God. I want to see it.
Oh, my God. There is one on my like Instagram account. It's so not pretty. My assistant posted. I was so pissed. I'm like, my big hair. But so that was your first experience. And then you... And then how did the porn thing? Did you move to San Francisco after that? Or?
Yeah, no. I mean, I'm 36 now. So
okay.
There was a long time. And I just sort of like off and on thought about the idea, whatever. And then, yeah, it wasn't until I moved to San Francisco. I was an English professor. I mean, that's not the exact right term for what I was. But I was teaching college English at University of Massachusetts in West New England College.
Okay.
And my last semester teaching, my students are like, what are you going to do after this? And I was like, I think I'm going to move to San Francisco and be a porn star. And they were like,
like, what, professor?
They just thought it was awesome. They
right.
were like, right on. You know, they just thought it was the coolest
that
thing.
That is so funny. So when did you move there?
I moved to San Francisco in 2007.
Okay.
So that's, and I started very shortly after that. Yeah.
Okay, doing porn in San Francisco, which,
right.
Were you like with kink.com or anything, or were you?
I've done one scene for Kink, but mostly, there are a lot of gay porn studios in San Francisco.
Yeah.
A lot of, most of the straight ones are here, you know, in LA or now in Las Vegas or whatever, but yeah.
So. Okay, and so did you enjoy it right away? Were you like a national?
I loved it. Yeah, I mean, I've been thinking about it my whole life. So what happened was I filmed a commercial for a bathhouse. They asked me to be in a commercial. It was totally crazy, out of nowhere. And I did the commercial, and the guys who filmed the commercial came up to me afterwards. They're like, have you ever thought about doing porn? And I was like, have I ever thought about doing porn?
Exactly.
Yeah. So,
like, what was I thinking about 2 seconds ago?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, I went and it was a orgy scene, and I wasn't attracted to any of the guys at all, and I still was just like electrified. Like, I was like, this is exactly where I'm supposed to be. It was just obvious. So now it's almost 7 years and 200 movies later.
Oh my God, you've done 200 films.
Yeah.
What are some of your favorites?
One is called an early favorite is called Laid Off. And that is, it was really great because it coincided with the 2008 financial collapse.
Oh, right. There was a collapse.
Yeah. It was a parody of, right. It was like a parody of the economic situation.
Oh, nice.
Where I was like a factory worker and I talked too much and my coworkers got sick of me. So they duct taped me to like these shipping shelves and had their way with me.
Oh,
that's one
of
my favorites.
Was there ever anything in porn that you didn't want to do that you were like, no, you do the line?
No, there are some, no, because I just don't do stuff. I don't do stuff that I haven't done in life on camera.
Okay.
So that's one thing, and I think that's a good bit of advice.
What don't you do?
Oh, you want to know? Let's get down to it. Well, now there's not that much anymore.
Okay.
But, well, I've been asked, for one, like I was saying, I've been asked to do straight porn, and I had to say no because I've never had sex. So, and no one wants to lose their virginity on camera.
No, never.
No. I haven't done a lot of pain stuff.
Okay.
Because I don't do that in my life.
Right, you're not into like S&M.
No, I'm interested in exploring it, to be honest, but I've never really done it that much in life. So a little bit here and there, and it's been rough and aggressive, but that's it. And I don't know. I think that might be,
okay.
We might be close.
That's good. But
how,
now
how often do you get duct taped at shipyards in your real life?
Good question.
Exactly. He was late because he was duct taped.
I've been tied up.
It's crazy.
I've been tied up. So
right.
that's close enough.
It's hard to be
enough.
Tied up, right?
Yeah, totally.
I love being tied up.
The resistance.
I don't get tied up enough.
Well, let's do it.
I've got like a whole house full of bondage gear, bondage tape.
Do you really?
Oh, yeah. I have a garage full of sex
toys.
Because
you need someone you
trust.
It's very difficult.
I know.
Because you need someone you really trust to like,
and that I have
if you're
going to
get tied up. Right, exactly.
You have 5-10 minutes to
you
see if you can come over and tie me
tied up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm too tied up to be tied up.
Exactly.
Such a bummer. Well, how do you feel about sex toys? Do you use any like toys at all or plugs or rings?
I've definitely used butt plugs because I wanted to be able to handle a little bit more
right.
in my life. So I've carried those around inside me
every
once
like?
In a while. What kind do I like? You mean?
I don't know, brands, like glass ones you like? Or is
No. I just like the squeegee, rubbery
right.
kind of ones because I need some leeway.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just curious because there's actually, I was going to talk about this anal sex. We do a little sex in the news on the show, but did you see this thing on Huffington Post? I think it was today that this reporter for the I'll tell you this. A column on anal sex in the student newspaper at Washington State University continues to bounce around the web. It goes viral. It's called – so her Abby Student, her real name – that's her real name, Abby Student – says – takes a term paper approach to the subject beginning with the mentions of Robert Frost's poem about the road less traveled. It takes a pretty typical path. Anal sex is more common than you think. It's been for thousands of years, and here's what you need to know if you plan to engage in it. So it was all about anal sex, and Student doesn't assert that anal sex is sweeping the Pullman campus, but the Huffington Post did it. So the Huffington Post was saying it was a trend and that there's all this stuff happening about anal sex. And the best quote comes from the student. She says, "Your butt has been your butt forever." And then there's like an interview with her. And then Stephen Colbert did like a fun riff on it. And so, and it's funny because on Loveline too. So it says, this was the headline. The Huffington Post headline, "The latest rage on college campuses is apparently anal sex." So I think it's interesting because we always talk about this and on Loveline and Dr. Drew were always like, why is it all of a sudden? I always thought it was like maybe because of porn because I don't remember anal sex. Interesting, was anal sex like an issue when you were like in high school? Like,
an issue?
Not an issue. Did it come up? Did
you try, as a straight
guy. Did you try to anally penetrate
women? As a straight
women? Guy. Yeah.
Especially if you're in a long-term relationship. I mean, it's not fair that it's right there. Every time you're going to have normal sex, the butt is right there.
Right. But I feel like
you're going to try it. You're going to want to.
It didn't even occur. Like, no one even ever tried.
But you weren't thinking about anything until you're like 19, 20.
But still, even in my 20s when I was dating, no guy ever like said it, brought it up. And I feel like porn has really been guys seeing in porn. It's like squirting too. Like, a lot of people are more interested in it.
Well, I think women, in some way, like women, I don't know, because your anatomy is different because you don't have a prostate. Like, sensational wise, it's different for you, right?
Yeah, but women can have orgasms.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
But it's different.
Definitely.
It's not like the same.
But I also think that the thing that's really sweeping, like the trend that's really going on, it is anal, but it's girls fucking their boyfriends with strap-ons.
Exactly.
It's pegging. Yeah.
Exactly. And I always say to my male listeners, I'm like, you know, don't knock it till you try it. I mean, I feel
put
like you should try
it.
Everything. Put a dick in it.
That's what I said.
Exactly.
Just put
right.
a dick
a dildo,
in it.
Whatever it is. Doesn't have to be a dick. It could be a strap-on. Whatever it is, because it's amazing pleasure that so many straight men are like, oh, it's going to be, you know, I'm gay, or I don't want anyone to touch it. I had a bad experience. A girl put a finger mask. And I'm like, What if it's like it is the male prostate? I mean, it feels amazing, right? I mean, yeah. It's not just if you're gay. Straight men, too. And I feel like there's legions of straight men who are completely missing out on this incredible experience they could have because they're too, like, freaked out for whatever reason.
Yeah. I mean, every man has a clitoris.
Right. A clitoris. Oh, my God. I'm totally going to quote that. So, I swear to God, are you ever, like, the straight man's, like, first? Like, do you have a straight man that you're, like...
Constantly. I have sex with straight men constantly.
Oh, my God.
And it's not – I'm not – like, I'm not trying to brag. I used to brag about it, but it's just – I've noticed in my life that it's just happened so many times now that people who are identified as straight –
Do you hook up with them?
Oh, totally. Fuck yes.
Okay. I want to hear about that. Do you ever buy them flowers by chance?
No. Okay. But if I felt like they needed just a little comfort, I might buy them some flowers.
Or a dildo or a butt plug. Or a sex tie. Because I want to talk about flowers for a minute. So I – this week – What? My new sponsor this week is Bouqs. That's Bouqs. And let's just face it, sending online flowers kind of sucks. We've all been burned. $19.99 somehow becomes $74.50. And what shows up is not what you ordered. Mostly it's dead, and then you get spammed nonstop from these people. So the geniuses at thebouqs.com launched a whole new way to send flowers. That is thebouqs.com, Bouqs, because they took to bouquets and simplified them. Thebouqs.com sends flowers straight from sustainable farms located on an active volcano in South America.
So wait, are they on fire when they get to your house?
Yeah, they are actually on a volcano flowers. They're totally on fire.
I've had
it's
a burning
crazy.
Blossom before.
A burning blossom? I did too.
Best coffee comes from the volcanic.
I know. I mean, I think this is cool because they're like sustainable flowers. They charge a flat rate of just $40 with free friggin' delivery. I love free delivery, by the way. Like, I hate when people charge me like $10 for delivery. It pisses me off.
Hey, so I can speak from experience to like the $19.99 thing. I've been completely burned.
Yeah,
furious.
And then they send you
weeds. Wilted flowers.
Oh yeah, I get wilted
and
flowers.
And you want to tell the wife, like, honey, you don't know. I spent $80 on
yeah,
this.
Yeah, it's always $80.
It's the worst though, because she's familiar with the ad. She's all heard $19.99, so she thinks I'm some cheap ass. And
right.
I want to tell her no. It actually ended up costing like $80.
No,
$90.
Right. It always costs $80 because like my web guy had a surgery and I sent him flowers and it was like
$90. And diming.
They nickel and dime you all the time. Bouqs is not $40 with free delivery, so your loved ones gets beautiful flowers and you save cash. For a limited time, the Bouqs is offering 20% off with promo code Emily. So go to thebouqs.com. That's thebouqs.com. Click on the shop button at the top of the page. Send that special someone a Bouq. Don't forget, order today with promo code Emily to get 20% off flowers from a freaking volcano. God damn it.
And ladies, if you peg your boyfriend or your husband, you can buy him flowers afterwards to continue
exactly.
emasculating him.
Exactly. Just to kind of... Just yes. No, I think men like flowers, don't you?
You can use his anus as a vase.
Oh, I want some anal sex tips.
No, I'll give you anal sex tips. I actually do love getting flowers, I will say. Like, I think it's very sweet and romantic. So
I do, too.
I'm down with it.
This guy that I've been dating, like, brought me, like, I love lilies. And I love this when a man just remembers... And he brought me the most beautiful lilies, and my whole house just smells so fragrant right now. And yeah. I feel like it seemed, maybe guys, whoever you're dating, think it's cliche. Flowers are like the cliche thing, but I actually, all week long, I've got these beautiful, it just smells amazing. It makes me really happy.
Awesome.
And you can put them in the ass. I didn't know that. I'll try that next time I see them. I think, honey, these are so great, and they look great in your ass. Okay, so that's what I want to say to him. It's perfect. Okay, so we were talking about anal sex, pegging. So, oh, yeah, it's a trend right now. But, yeah, it's true. So you've been, like, a lot of straight men's first. So are they cheating on their wives, or what's the deal with most of these guys? So what's the profile of these men?
No, I mean, I think – well, initially, the straight guys that I would mess around with were college boys because I was in college, right?
Oh, right.
So that just happened a lot, like people just experimenting and sort of trying things out.
But you were the top, so they were
not always.
Not
always, yeah.
Okay.
And so, but now when it happens, yeah, a lot of times it's someone who I don't know. The profile is someone. It's hard for me to give a profile because the profile for me in mine is like someone who is excited, like a dude who's excited to have someone to talk to.
Right.
Because dudes feel like they don't have people to talk
really
to,
don't.
And they have a hard time talking to women. So a lot of times, I feel like guys like who are my friends who are straight, they'll have some sort of rapport with me. They'll feel comfortable around me, and like I don't know if that means their wires get crossed or like whatever it is,
maybe.
But like. I mean, I shouldn't say it that way because that makes it sound like it's a bad thing. Like, I think
right.
they're just like,
curious,
I feel affection.
Yeah, I think that's totally true.
Yeah.
I think that a lot of men are shut down emotionally and you probably open them up in more ways than one.
Right.
Okay, so being in Los Angeles, how is dating here?
Well, I haven't exactly tried to date. So I broke up my last boyfriend last May. So it's been a long time. And I haven't really wanted to be in a relationship since.
Right.
Hooking up is easy. I mean, hooking up, it's a pornucopia. I mean, it's just like everything you want.
More than San Francisco?
Yes, because you don't see the same people all the time. Like in San Francisco, you would just keep bumping in. So you'd be like, where? But LA is inexhaustible. So it's just like an orgasm variety pack.
Exactly. Do you do Grindr app?
Yes, I do Grindr. And well, mostly I do Scruff. And then there's one called Mister. And Mister is for younger guys looking for older guys.
Oh, okay. Are you like the older guy now?
No. I'm still the younger guy.
Okay, good.
So like I'm hooking up with like 50-year-olds. Like I think it's hot. I think older guys are hot.
Oh my God, they probably love hooking up with you. Because I'm sort of into Tinder lately. I just think it's a really easy way, because everyone's like Grindr. If everyone doesn't know, like, how do you explain Grindr? Like, it's, if people don't know, it started in the gay community. It was a gay app that all you have to put in like is your age range and what.
Right. So you create a little profile. It's your picture, a few facts about yourself, and it comes up on a grid of everybody else's photos and all that kind of stuff.
Who's like into close proximity?
Exactly.
To you.
And
in
it
that
does
moment.
It through like GPS, basically. So like you see who's close to you,
right?
And you say hi, and
it works in like how you've hooked up with people from Grindr.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, like all the time.
I mean, I think a lot of people use it more as porn than they do for hookup.
What do you mean? Like they jack off to the pictures?
Because you can unlock your pictures and there's tons of like naked pictures. So people spend a lot of time just like surfing through it looking at photos.
Oh my God, I had no idea.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Well, anyway, people thought it wouldn't work for the straight community and I think Tinder's a little different.
Yeah.
But it is still pretty cool. Like I'm just no. I'm just flipping. It's the same thing. I put in the age range I'm looking for and the proximity. Like in LA, I'm like 2 miles because I don't want to drive anywhere, you know. And then I'm getting all these messages
through, right?
You swipe, you're like yes no. And then if I like someone and they happen to have liked me at the same time, then we're a match.
And
it's super fun. So here you think it's better just because you don't see people.
There's a lot more options. I just feel like there's so much more, and you're not confronted with like, oh, there's that guy at the gym, and
right.
I see him every
it's
single
true.
Day.
It's totally true. Okay, so, which I like that too about LA, because I feel like, even though I've been here almost a year, I just feel like I don't run into the same people I meet. There's so many more people
totally,
in this city.
Totally
San Francisco's town is like this big.
Yep,
like either I've slept with some guy, like if someone calls me about a guy, I'm like, I slept with them, or my best friend slept with them, or someone else did, and he's already.
And that might be true in LA, but you would just never know because everybody's separated from each other.
Exactly. I know. Exactly. I kind of love that.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, so what else are you working on? Talk to me about this petition. I want to hear about that. Your censorship. I think it's a great cause. So talk to me about it.
Thank you. So last week, Vine, which is an app that's owned by Twitter, Twitter decided to ban all adult content that was on Vine. Now,
was there a lot of adult content on
thousands
Vine?
Thousands.
So
there's
short little. How do we explain Vine? It's a short little.
Vine
six,
is a six second. Yeah. So if you have Insta video, it's like that. But you have 6 seconds to edit your own videos. So lots of people, including porn stars, but lots of just amateur people, were making 6 second porn videos on Vine. Now, the great thing about Vine was that you could make 6 second porn videos and you'd have that, and then you have video right after it that was like you going to the grocery store and like dropping a peach or something like that, you know?
Right,
so it's like, as a porn star.
6 second porn, that's definitely for
just
men.
Just the cum shot.
No,
just
a cum shot.
Yeah, like, but you. Guys are, no, lots of women use it as well. Oh, how do you jerk off to 6 second porn, do you think? Yeah, well, you just go through a lot. Yeah.
So, you're like, play, yeah, next. Okay.
But I think that. So the great thing about it for porn stars was that it gave you a chance to show like – and everybody, hey, look, sex is part of life. Like here's my sex video. Here's my goofy video. Here's my blah, 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 blah. So it was just very like – I think it was just showed people's full humanity. It was awesome. So then last week, Twitter decided to ban all adult content, to cut out everybody who had adult content. So in other words, to suspend their accounts. And they said that they wanted to make their users feel comfortable. Now, thousands of their users were doing this.
And
tens
very
of thousands.
Comfortable.
Yeah, exactly. More than comfortable. Sometimes we feel more than comfortable.
Right.
And so I started this petition, which is linked. I just did a blog post about it. So if you go to my website, which is ConnorHabib.com.
Oh, we didn't say that. Connor Habib. So spell it.
Connor, C-O-N-N-E-R. H-A-B-I-B, ConnorHabib.com. It'll link you to a post about the petition. You can look at it. Nerve.com and Sex.com and Daily Dot all wrote about it.
Great.
So it's getting some press. And so we just really need to pick it up. I don't start the petition because I think it's going to make Twitter change its mind. I did it because I want people to see how censorship of porn is linked to censorship. And we need to draw our line in the sand and be like, whether you do this or not, we're against it, and you need to hear our voice.
Well, what about Twitter? They don't ban porn, do they?
No, but I worry that that's going to come.
Right,
then,
because I'd be in trouble. Not that I put porn up, but I put a lot of, you
know. No, a lot of us would be. A
lot of sex content on my Twitter. That's like, that's what I do.
Exactly. I mean, I think that's the big fear.
So they can go to Connor B, but they can sign the petition?
Exactly. Well, it'll lead them to the change. To the petition. It's a change.org
And then
petition.
You also have like other, right, all your writing.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
And then you're working on a book right now?
Yes. So my book comes out later this year from Disinformation, which is sort of a countercultural media company. And my book is called Remaking Sex. And it's a tour through sex and how everything we know about sex is wrong. So I go through politics, history, science, all that kind of stuff. And I just sort of unearth all these myths.
Like what?
And oh,
give
gosh.
Me one that we know. Okay. It's wrong. What do we think is wrong?
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So one is... Okay, so masturbation shame is a great one to talk
right.
about, right? So we were just talking about masturbation before. So I write a thing about where masturbation shame comes from. And it actually comes from this weird, not from the church, which is where we would think it
right.
comes from, but this weird scientific hoax that happened a long time ago where this guy created this pamphlet saying he could cure people who had been damaged by masturbation.
Oh, but he probably was a religious freak, though. No?
He used religion, but he was okay. more of just some scientist, huckster, doctor guy.
Okay.
So because that pamphlet sold so well, all like religious people picked it up, all these other people picked it up, and it just spread out into the world. And so you had like centuries of people being ashamed of masturbation. That's a real simplification,
right.
but it's
but people are still ashamed about it. I mean,
absolutely.
I wasn't ashamed about it. I just didn't do it. But there are so many people who just, I mean, because whenever I get asked by like, I get interviewed by a lot of women's magazines or men's health, they're like, what do you think that women need to know about sex? I'm like, they need to know that they need to masturbate. And
right.
men too, that like, that's especially how women, like that's how we learn about our bodies. Like that's how we know what makes us feel good. We're always expecting our partner to know, and you know, men have a little, they just kind of figure it out.
Well, no,
so,
I mean, but we figure it out.
But then you have shame. A lot of men have shame around it.
They have shame about it, and we have shame about masturbating to porn. So men masturbate to, I mean, women, like porn is like a third women consumers, right?
Right?
But men masturbate to porn and they feel badly about that. So that's their version of feeling bad
right.
about masturbation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They do. And I always try to tell you, like, it's totally normal for men to masturbate to porn. And I think a lot of women, there's also misunderstanding, like, they don't understand, like in straight couples, like why their partner is masturbating porn. And I would say like it's separate. Like they could be having the best sex of their lives with you, but men just still sometimes just need this release. Women
Absolutely.
Need a release too, but we might not need the visual stimulation as much. Some do, some don't. But it's like this whole porn thing is just like a lot of women are just confounded about it. They're like, I don't get it. Does he want me to like have fake boobs? Does he want me to be prettier? Am I not pleasing
well,
him?
Well, I mean, that's...
And then so men hide it and then they feel guilty, but they already
right.
feel guilty
And then
anyway.
The hiding it makes it seem like there's something wrong, which probably pisses the partner off even more, which makes things... Yeah.
Exactly. And I'm like,
exactly.
then you guys should just watch porn together. Together, right?
And
Spice
also, like,
sweat.
What our imaginations are pornographic. So, what's the difference between what's our
I
imagination
know, exactly.
and the thing that's happening on the
like,
screen?
I celebrate it. Like, yeah. I'm like, just do it, right? And
totally.
Watch Connor's films too. Do you make money from them, or
do
they just pay you?
I don't make royalties.
It's like my
but
book.
I still want you to watch them.
Still watch them, Connor yeah. Habib. See, do you list them all on your website?
My website
is
being revamped. So when you go to my website now, it links to my blog. But there is, you can just Google it.
Google Connor Habib and see how friggin' hot he is. We're also going to have a little video attached to this, so you can. It's just going to be me talking to his calves because he probably won't have to pull down his pants right now. Speaking of pulling down the pants, so this week we have a really big holiday coming up.
Uh-huh. I'm pretty excited.
I know, right? It's called Steak and Blowjob Day. So Steak and Blowjob Day is sort of the anti-Valentine's Day. Have you heard about this, Anderson?
Just tonight from you.
Seriously, you've never heard about it?
Well, like I was saying, my favorite comedian, Bill Burr, I thought that he invented this a year and a half
no,
ago. He just kind of came up with it.
That's been going on
then,
for a while.
And
it's
then he
a
realized
while.
A few weeks later, he's like, fuck, this thing's a real thing.
Oh, it's a real thing. So it's kind of like the anti-Valentine Day. Men are like, you know, I gave you flowers, I gave you roses, like, let's get a blowjob.
Do they have cards for it?
They
like
don't. I don't think that Hallmark is rushing out making cards yet. No, I don't. But
Hallmark should
never,
be.
Hallmark should.
Lone Star Steakhouse has.
Exactly.
Yeah, a
so it's kind
program.
Of a day that, you know, I guess that people should give back to their partners because of whatever. I think it's just silly and it's fun. We actually sent a newsletter out about it today. But what would you say then? I'm sure you've given blowjobs before. What are the golden rules you think for giving a good blowjob?
Okay, for giving a good blowjob. So the one thing that people miss out all the time, and it drives me crazy when I'm getting a blowjob.
Hope I don't do this.
Is,
yeah.
It's called sucking a dick. So that means when you put it in your mouth, you don't just move your head back and forth. You suck on it
right.
like you're sucking, like, you know, put your finger in your mouth and suck on it like
right.
you're sucking a nipple. That's
exactly.
it. You suck the dick because you have to create some sort of pressure on the penis. It's
right.
not just putting it in your mouth.
Right. And going up and down. Don't be too loose.
Yes, totally. And guys do that to me all the time.
So do you stop them and go, uh-uh? Do you give directions?
I no.
Or do you just kick them
I
out?
Say it sort of meanly.
What do you
sort of,
do?
I'm sort of like, suck on it, suck it harder. You know, like I'm telling you.
Right.
So
do you think every man wants that? Like, if we're talking about like women, we're giving women tips to like. Do you think every guy wants it?
I think every man might want to experience that.
Right.
You know.
So like a bad blow. Yeah. Like Anderson. Like what would you say that women were? I know you're married. Before that, I'm sure your wife gives the best blowjobs in the world. But before
Trappos.
That, what was like a really bad blowjob experience? What was she doing wrong?
So not her.
No, not
the
wife. Of course, you married her because
the teeth are like the big one.
And then, you learn that in blowjob school 101.
Unless you're an amputee, usually there's a couple hands. You got
use
a couple
your
hands.
Hands.
Use the other hand.
Mine.
For the balls.
The balls. I feel like balls. Do you feel like all? Men like their balls played with or not? Do you think it's controversial? Like
to varying degrees.
Right.
I mean, some guys don't have sensitive balls. Some guys
right.
don't have sensitive, like really
like
sensitive
nipples,
dicks.
So right.
right, totally. But you, but the balls, I mean, for me, if someone just like sucks it, like they're trying to suck something out of like a straw, it
right.
hurts.
Right.
So they have
you
to,
because
they're very sensitive. So, but some guys can just be like pulled, like, you know, like
right.
they're trying to
like
pull
they
them
like
off.
Cockroach, they
so just pay attention to your partner.
Exactly.
And listen.
Communication is lubrication.
Yes,
watch
exactly.
what they want. Watch. Okay. So speaking of balls, I bought you a little present here, which
oh
is going to go
totally
really
excited.
Well. It's kind of a side dish for steak and blowjob
All
day.
Right.
It's called Down Under Comfort.
Uh-huh.
And it's from my new product line, Emily and Tony, which
oh,
you can get at emilyandtony.com. And it's sort of a revolutionary product because it's for your down unders. It's for men and for women. But it started out like a lot of men, as you know, use talcum powder or they, you know, and it gets cakey. It's also carcinogenic. And a lot of men don't use anything and they think, I'm fresh, I'm dry, I showered this morning, I'm totally fine. But they're not, right? Have you ever been with a guy and you're like, what? Why, like, hygiene is
like you just mean ball, like, all out ball stink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have that a lot? Do you
no,
find,
I,
not, you don't.
Right.
Dude, you don't. But have you been with a guy and, like, you're just
some,
like, why
yeah.
do you shower?
Sometimes you'll like the smell, and a lot of times you will not like that smell
right?
at all.
Okay,
yeah.
So I invented a deodorant for your balls,
good.
For your down unders, and I want you to feel this. So it's a
okay.
it's cream to a powder formula. I'm going to put a little in your hand now and just rub it
okay.
in. And you'll see if
you
rub
it on my
just
balls,
little,
just
right
on my hands,
in your hands
okay,
right now.
Okay.
But we'll put on your balls after for the video.
Okay.
So if you see, it turns into a powder. So you keep rubbing it around.
Oh yeah.
And it's like a light, fresh, citrusy scent, and you will not sweat down there. You'll be fresh
That's
and dry.
Crazy.
So guys
That's
can
weird.
Use it.
Rocket
women can,
scientist.
Isn't
like,
it? I'm
yeah.
a rocket scientist. So women can use it down there, so you don't have to worry. Let's say all of a sudden you're like have a hot date that night, and you're like, oh no, I'm. You know, I need to clean up. You're still, it's deodorant for your down unders.
How does it work? How's that stuff become? It's like the chocolate. Remember
it's
the chocolate, liquid chocolate and then turns to hard?
Oh, yeah.
It reminds me of that.
Because
how's
it has
work?
Witch hazel. It's all
that
vegan ingredients. So it's witch hazel, which is a natural antiperspirant. No, it is. And we have, it's tapioca powder. And it's all natural ingredients that act as a natural deodorant. It's a cream formula, turns into a light natural powder to keep your intimate areas fresh and dry. And the ingredients are, yeah, it's tapioca powder. It's got witch hazel. Again, that's a natural antiperspirant, but it's not.
I feel like the entire state of Florida should buy this.
Right?
Yeah,
or everyone in the summer.
Because you just get those swampy balls.
Eggs, swamp balls.
Yeah.
They're the worst. So Emily and Tony, go to emilyandtony.com, use coupon code Emily, and you get 20% off. And you'd be supporting me and my life, and I could do a podcast for you every single day if you buy some. And it'll change your life and your partner. Because hygiene is actually the number one complaint that men and women have about their partner.
Really?
Yeah, hygiene. Like
hygiene.
Like they're just not clean. They're not fresh. Like anything.
Yeah,
like
totally.
Imagine, right?
Totally.
It's like a total buzzkill. So
yeah. Can you put it under your arms? Can you put
can.
Your armpits?
You can. I mean, it's not as strong as a deodorant, but you totally can. And like Mike Catherwood, who's the host of Loveline, he uses it at the gym. Oh, you'll like this. He uses because he chafes at the gym.
Yeah.
So if you ever chafe, it's great for that.
Yeah.
It's kind of, and it can be used as a dry shampoo. It's kind of a miracle product.
That's awesome.
I know. So like everyone who uses,
you can probably
it, like,
use it on your feet if your feet stink.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I have like my pregnant friend. She's pregnant. Like use your feet. You could use it. Everywhere. So
everybody has
you.
A part of their body that stinks.
Exactly.
Oh, thank you.
That's your present, honey.
Thank you.
So,
remember when you gave it to that porn star a few months ago and on air? And she, Connor, I thought she was going to cry. She was so happy. She's like, I'm going to put those on every single guy that I have to do a scene with.
I was like,
with.
Will you put it on every porn set in the world?
That's
because
so
she was
funny.
So happy.
I know,
like, I guess that her life was hell on set.
Right. Because what do you do, right? I mean,
she actually should just put it on the inside of her nose.
That's what I said. Yeah. I said, like, Sons of the Lambs. You
yeah,
put that stuff
yeah,
out.
Exactly.
But it smells good, too, because it just, that's the thing. It's citrus. It's for men and for women. So
that's awesome.
It's a good thing. Yeah. So I think you should.
I love it. I'm so excited.
Yeah. I also have massage candles too. I'll give you that when we get together yes. at the gym. We're gonna work out together. I want to be as strong and I want to be.
She's trying to take your V card, but
what? No. Well,
she
said he brought it up. How do you feel about hand jobs? Because when I did this show for a long time with Menace, who's my co-host in San Francisco, actually just moved. People of you listening to shows with Menace and I have done 2,000 shows. He actually just moved to L.A. We had awesome. Lunch yesterday, and we're going to start doing shows
He's
together again. Anderson,
yeah,
also be doing shows with you. He's adorable. Did you meet him?
No, I've never met him.
Oh, but he's so cute. So we were talking. So three years ago on the show, we had this debate, and I was like, I want to bring the hand job back. I feel like hand jobs, maybe it's different with men, gay community, but like we used to give like hand jobs before the blowjob, and like men still like finger women. So now I'm not saying in replacing the blowjob, but I think a hand job, even though men are so used to giving it to themselves, if you use two hands and lots of lube, can it feel good?
I'm gonna make a joke and then we're gonna go on, because I always say that the secret to a good hand job is a blowjob. but I will jump past that, because I will say yes, sure, like getting a hand job is also pleasurable. You have to know what you're doing. And I think one of the big things is that people will have part of their hand lubricated and part of it not. So
right.
Like especially right here, like between your thumb and your forefinger, gets to be like a trouble area.
That's
so you have
to
just keep
lube.
constantly lubricated. Also, not everybody does like lube. So guys who are uncircumcised very
who
often.
They don't
guys,
like lube. Oh.
No, because they have their foreskin that they can pull over the top of their penis.
How do you feel about uncircumcised penises? Because we actually had an email from a listener about it that I was going to.
Oh, gosh. It's such a complicated issue that lots of people like get really upset about because they are anti-circumcision. I think it's a complex issue. I think ultimately people who think that men shouldn't be circumcised are probably right. On the other hand, I have grown up circumcised, so I'm used to seeing penises that are circumcised, and to me that's now become part of my sexual aesthetic, so it's difficult for me to just speak out against it, you
right
know?
You can't. I mean do you think that people do you feel like, well, would you be with someone who was like, you have probably have been?
Oh yeah
it doesn't like bump
no up. I don't have anything against or for uncircumcised
right,
dicks. They're
exactly.
Dicks. Yeah.
Okay, because I'm trying to find this email, which I think I by mistake took it. Anyway, the guy was worried about it, and he was like, what are women going to think? Is it bad? Is it unhappy?
That he was uncircumcised.
Yeah, he was uncircumcised, and he was like, really?
Just tell him to join most of the world.
Most
of the world is uncircumcised.
Most of the world is,
yeah.
It's true.
But he's encountering this culture where people expect circumcision, so.
I've been with men, so it doesn't bother me. I don't have issues. I mean, there are more risks. You have to be more clean, you know.
Yeah.
Cleaner down there and take care of yourself, but like, you know, it happens.
Yeah, I mean, I think also, you know, the only thing I know a few people who had to be circumcised as adults because their foreskin started to constrict their penis head. So then they lost sensitivity in adult life, which was very difficult for them. But I think in general, most guys, it's like, there's no significant
right,
difference.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So people should
accept
just chill
sensation.
Out about it.
Yeah.
And apparently it feels much better.
Yeah, it does.
How would you ever know?
Well,
I wish I could like try. First of all, I want a penis for a day, but then I would like an uncircumcised penis for a day.
I can tell you I'm in between. I have what some people call a French cut, which
I've
means I have a little bit of foreskin.
What
left.
Happened?
So, well, they just, the way they circumcised
okay.
me, there's still left some skin.
Oh,
I don't know if it was intentional or not, but so I can still pull the foreskin up over the top of the head of my penis, but it looks uncircumcised. I mean, it looks circumcised all the time. So that, and I will say that
ooh.
Part of my penis is extremely sensitive.
Okay.
So, in a good way.
So you kind of do have the best of both
I do.
Words. You kind of know what everyone's talking about. That
I
is
do.
So freaking interesting. I have another question for you. Have you ever
an
been with men?
In-between-er wiener.
In-between-er wiener. You've got, I don't even need to talk. You've got all these great things. What about men who, do you ever have men who, let's just say premature ejaculators or can't last long enough, don't last as long as you'd like? Does that happen as much in the gay community? No.
I haven't experienced it that often, to be honest.
Okay. I'm curious. It's just an issue that people have.
My friend was a woman was dating someone who
I had
was a
too.
Premature ejaculator. And I was trying to
like
come up with tips for what she could do.
Right.
And it was difficult because I think, you know, I'm obviously psychological.
It is
in
psychological,
a lot, of ways.
A lot of it.
Yeah. And so how do you intersect with that person's psychology? I mean, it's
exactly.
hard to give broad advice for something like that.
Right. Well, I was going to say also another one of our sponsors that I have to give a shout out to is Promescent. You've heard me talk about them before, and they're the only FDA treatment for premature ejaculation. It's a mild spray that you put on your penis, and it actually makes you stay harder longer. And it's not even if you're a premature ejaculator. Like, it's a lot of men and women, there's like an orgasm gap. Like, men can orgasm like 4 to 6 minutes, women's right. like 20 minutes. So if it's they use absorption technology, and they provide superior ejaculation control with great sensation for the man and an unnoticeable transfer to the woman when you spray it, so you stay harder longer.
It's called cool.
Promethane. It's cheaper than Coke, right? Because that's what we used to use.
Oh yeah, used to use Coke, but then you can't ejaculate. Right?
Well, I mean, you the Coke on the actual.
Oh, you
penis.
Put the Coke on yeah. your penis. I'm going to give you a bottle of Promethazine, Anderson. It'll change your life.
I don't need it. I just heard people.
Oh, you're fine. No, you're totally fine. Your sex life is perfection.
I always just did the Coke with the nose.
Oh, I got it. Okay, Coke is that? Did there was there lots of drugs on porn sets and stuff?
No, that's such a mess.
What?
Yeah, there aren't.
What? Really?
Yeah, I know. Sorry to say. I mean, it's difficult to perform. The drug that porn stars use more than any other drug is steroids.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. right?
But not you don't see a lot of drugs.
What about the other myth, the fluffer myth? Do they have that in the gay sets?
Not anymore. I mean, they
why you don't need it?
Because people use Viagra or Cialis or Trimex or Caberjack.
Okay, there's so much out there. What's
Caberjack? Injection. You inject it into your dick.
Oh,
what?
Ow!
Yeah.
Have you done it?
No, never.
You don't need to. Right?
I don't even need to use Viagra.
I don't even need anything. I don't even need Viagra.
Wait, they just whip out a syringe and shoot up your dick?
Yeah.
Ouch. They do that? Do they do that in a set?
Yep.
Oh my God. Does, and you stay hard for how long?
Do you have a doctor there to do it?
It just artificially hardens your penis. So I think it's cheating because it doesn't even Viagra at least intersects with like your desires and the things that turn you
right,
on.
But then
Caberjack is just like sticking a mannequin's dick.
Is it like legal? Like you buy it? Like people get?
I don't know
not.
That it's legal. Yeah, exactly.
I don't even want to talk about that. No one should look at that. Okay, so everyone should check out Connor Habib. It's CONNERHABIB.com, but also at Connor Habib on Twitter.
That's right, and on Patty's blog starting next
right.
week.
Right, so it's called Patty Knows .com. We both write for Patty Stanger, who's the millionaire matchmaker. If you don't know who she is, and it's gonna be every Monday.
Yeah,
for now. Okay,
yeah.
Cool. And also, he's gonna be writing for me. But we need to talk
That's
about
right.
that.
That's right. We're going to talk about
I
it.
I know. Because, and also, everyone should check out my website because I've got so much information. I was just voted Glamour Magazine UK called me this morning that they voted me one of the top 8 sex websites, sex and information websites.
That is so awesome.
I know. In the world. And they were like, we love your website. We love your website. They didn't even know I have a podcast. I'm like, no, I have a podcast. Like, so actually, a lot of people don't know this, but I do provide content every day on my website, videos and blogs and all right. that stuff you should check out because I think you'd really love
and
it.
And officially
too.
Now, you're glamorous. Yeah.
I'm glamorous. I'm yeah. glamorous and glamour. Exactly. Yeah. And sometimes I try to be glamorous. I have my moments. So thank you so much, Connor, for being on the show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
We're going to do a little video now. Awesome. You're going to put some Down Under on your balls.
On my Down Under.
Are you cool with that?
Okay.
Just kidding. No,
Let's
we
do
don't,
it.
We're not. Oh, yeah, oh. You would do that. But I think on YouTube, we can't do that.
No, you can on YouTube. But I can stick it down my pants. I can just do it.
We'll do a demo.
Exactly.
A live demo. This is perfect. Okay. Anderson?
Drew can inject your dick. He's here.
Oh, Dr. Drew's here. Dr. Drew, would you inject some stuff? No, he wouldn't do that.
He said yes. He's in here.
He's standing there with a giant syringe.
Oh, God, no. I'm not going to get involved with my craziness. Okay, everyone. Thanks so much. Check me out on Facebook and Twitter, Instagram, Sex with Emily. And thanks so much for listening to the show. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com. Sex toys aren't just for women. Go to sexwithemily.com/fleshlight to discover the best sex toys for men. The Fleshlight. A lot of guys say it feels even better than sex, and it helps build stamina, meaning you'll last longer in bed. Go to sexwithemily.com/fleshlight to see my Fleshlight recommendations and get one tonight.